Hello and welcome back to another edition of Line Noise, where we squeeze as much information about your digital rights as will fit through the USB 2.0 audio input device standard. It's not all work at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Sometimes they let us go out, to conventions mainly. This week, while some of us spent the day sitting in a booth dangerously close to Steve Jobs' reality distortion field at Macworld, our intrepid activist Derek Slater was further abroad, sacrificing his air miles to that other altar of geek gadgets, the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. I asked him how it had been going.
It has been jam-packed with sensory overload. Having never been to CES before, I didn't know what to expect. It has been stunning how many flashing lights there have been and loud noises and all sorts of fun stuff that you can only get at a massive gadget convention.
So the one thing that people probably don't realize about CES is there's actually a lot of policy talk too. The whole thing is run by the CEA, which of course has just got involved in lobbying in Washington with their Digital Freedom Campaign. Was there any panels that caught your eye?
Well, I tell you what, around CES and a variety of the panels, there's been a lot of talk about the lawsuit against XM Radio for the Inno, the recording device that helps people lawfully record their satellite radio streams. And of course, the record labels have gone after XM, both in the courts and in Congress, to get a law passed to basically ban these new devices. And that has really lit a fire under, I think, a lot of companies. A lot of innovators who see, look, this has really absolutely nothing, even facially, to do with piracy. This is about our core business, making great gadgets for the average consumer. So that's kind of been, that was a story of 2006, and I think carried through into this convention. Also, it was interesting, Robert Iger from Disney gave a keynote, CEO of Disney, and was talking about what's the best way to combat piracy, and said best way was to bring content to market in a well-timed, well-priced basis. Got a huge applause from the audience, right? His answer was not DRM, was not lawsuits, was not any of the standard talk from industry types. And that was interesting. We'll see how it plays out over the coming months.
And what was the CBS keynote by comparison?
Well, so Leslie Moonves from CBS gave an interesting keynote in that it focused more on what their internet-related ventures are like. Everything from a social networking site based around the Showtime show The L Word to a new service by Sling Media. So Sling Media is a company came up with a variety of devices. The most well-known is one that lets you place shift your TV content, send it from your TV at home to any other computer, any other mobile device that you own. They're going to come out with this new service called Clip and Sling, where you can take some content you can, you know, watching, recording with your Sling device. Instead of sending it to another device that you own, actually take a 4.5-minute clip or so, or some short clip, and upload it to a site and then share it with other people. So there is, on the one hand, some sense that look, the content holders are becoming more accepting of some ways of individuals sharing media with each other. On the other hand, the demo was so limited, we have no way of knowing what the limitations are in this service and how much you really can do with this new Clip and Sling. But certainly interesting to see people like Blake Kerkorian, the head of Sling, you know, really disruptive innovator to the TV industry, and the head of YouTube up on stage during a CBS keynote. You know, you never would have seen Sean Fanning, the head of Napster, up on stage with content holders at the heyday of Napster.
So talking of cool devices, we've done the policy stuff now. What were the things that really caught your eye on the floor?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There were a couple of things. One was how much is going in right now into home media servers and home networking so that you can bring all the media you own from all your different devices together easily. That includes stuff like having some server that you store all your media on, and then an easy way, whether it's something you hold in your hand, something you mount on the wall, to access that media, stream your music to the different rooms in your house, to different computers in your home, to your different devices. There's a lot of focus on integrating all these different devices so you can access your media. Unfortunately, a lot of the offerings are kind of closed platforms, these, you know, like Microsoft has its silo of devices between the Xbox and home media server and those sorts of products, and they work really well together, but you have, but they're all integrated with each other, and you kind of have to use them all together, it seems. So that was kind of one of the main focuses on the floor as far as what's next for the home consumer. Speaking for myself as a consumer who owns both a Media Center PC and now a MacBook, I'm thoroughly frustrated with the different hoops I have to jump through to get my media exactly where I want. And unfortunately, I mean, one of the things we've seen, for the last several years and also at the show is how kind of DRM creates these fault lines that only exacerbate the problem of trying to get your media exactly where you want it. These sort of networking solutions would be a lot easier if we didn't have DRM in the way. That's certainly true. There are a variety of products here. For instance, there was a company that helps you stream music from your iTunes collection at home to any PC anywhere on the internet. You just log in through a simple interface, and you can access your music sitting at home. Well, of course, you can't access any of your DRM'd music because the service can't talk to that DRM'd content. Doesn't know how to open it. So that's a continuing frustration here as you walk around wanting to really have a totally seamless experience of DRM standing in the way over and over again.
So one of the interesting pieces you blogged from CES was the talk about the sort of what isn't there. And in particular, you see all of these sort of ways of dealing and treating your music in the home, but there doesn't seem to be much advance going on in the world of like streaming and viewing your DVD collection.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there are tons of new music players launched, some with Wi-Fi capabilities, so you can download music, stream internet radio stations, all sorts of really neat slim MP3 players, and yet so little, there's basically no innovation going on around your DVD collection and what you can do with it. Like, there's all this innovation that's going up around being able to rip your CDs to make MP3s out of them, but none out of DVDs. Question is why, and simple answer is because the Digital Millennium Copyright Act restricts your ability to create new devices that interact with DVDs, that rip them, that can copy them or stream them and all sorts of things, without getting Hollywood's permission first to unlock the DRM. So there are really no devices around to help you get more from your DVD collection except for one, which is actually a quite astounding device called the Kaleidoscape. I think it runs for around $10,000, and you can rip all your DVDs to it, and it has the most beautiful interface, and this could be something that's cheaper and more available to the average consumer except for the fact that, well, Kaleidoscape's been sued. So anyone else thinking about entering this market maybe a more streamlined device at a cheaper price, they're not going to do that because they don't want to get sued too. And that's really the state of affairs around innovation around DVDs. What's also really interesting walking around the show floor is how many new video delivery systems there are, whether it's IPTV or getting content on your cell phone or all sorts of things to help consumers get video wherever they want on whatever device they want. Well, if you want to get that same DVD content you've already bought on your cell phone or on some other device in your home, you really are going to have to buy it again and again and again. That's something Hollywood's very happy about. I'm pretty sure the people who've invested hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars in their DVD collection by this point are very unhappy about that. And it really raises the question, well, when is my investment in DRM media ever safe? I mean, the answer is it's really not.
So I don't want to end on entirely a sad note. I heard that there are quite a few neat sort of devices taking advantage of the analog hole.
Sure. Well, certainly as we talked about earlier, Sling's device has been around for a while to help you send media from your TV at home to any other computer or mobile device that you own. And there are a couple other really neat devices basically for helping you take any analog audio or video output and record it direct to either a flash memory card or direct to your iPod. It's one device called the iRecord. Help you do exactly that. You basically plug, say, your DVD player into the iRecord and your iRecord into the iPod, and you can record the video straight into the iPod. It shows up as a file immediately. in your iPod is really, really slick. And that is one way in which you can move your DVDs out of that disk and onto some other data format without having to evade the DRM or unlock the DRM. And of course, Hollywood has been pushing very hard to do away with the so-called analog hole, so that these devices won't exist anymore. Fortunately, they still do, and you can use the analog hole to get more from your TV collection, get more from your DVD collection.
Well, Derek, thanks very much, and have a great final day, and I hope to see you bleary-eyed sometime this week.
Indeed, I'll see you soon, Danny.
That was Derek Slater speaking from the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. If you'd like to know more about your right to control your digital media devices, visit eff.org/fairuse, or just mail us your questions at information@eff.org. We'll be happy to help.